Ramsey TV.
I did not give my kids candy for breakfast. I didn't. Yes, they wanted it. They wanted candy for breakfast. Oh, you know, gumdrops, sweet tarts, pixie sticks, fireballs, Mike and Ike's, oatmeal. Yeah, I gave them oatmeal, scrambled eggs, bacon, things like that. You don't spoil the kids because love must be tough. I'm going to talk to you today and tomorrow, possibly the next day, about the tough love of God. I'm going to tell you how to spoil your kids, how to spoil your wife. Spoil the kiddies, spoil the wife, fill your life with tons of strife. You're going to learn how to do that. But hopefully you won't do the things that will produce spoiled kiddies and spoiled wives. This is Martin Sender. We got Judy Garland back here. Back in the day when she was unspoiled by MGM. I like that, unspoiled Judy Garland. She accompanied me through much of the Revelation series, my muse there. I might be putting a few different posters here, mixing up a little bit from my office. That's where I am now, in my office, which seconds as a bedroom, you see. So, we got some books coming out. I just got The Bound Galleys back from The Lie of Every Man's Battle. Only been working on it for 10 years, and it's finally completely typeset. Now we have the review copies. That's what a bound galley is. It's a review copy. The reviewers are doing a final look at it, including myself. I'm one of the reviewers. I'm reviewing my own writing. And when that comes out, it's going to be the greatest. I mean, I'm so happy with it. Coming out with it is Shaga. Shaga, of course, the Hebrew word for intoxicated, tells you how to keep that passion in your marriage. First, make sure your nails are clean. Very important, I've been told by some women that if my nails aren't clean, it's kind of like my dad used to tell me. He says, if your hubcaps aren't clean, if your white walls aren't clean of your car, then the whole car is dirty. You can have, your whole car can be clean, but if the white walls, the hubcaps, I guess another thing is your man's shoes. A man's shoes, apparently. I'm just hearing these things, you know. If a man's shoes aren't nice, then it's all ruined. So you're going to get all kinds of tips in the book, Shaga, how to keep that sexual passion high in your marriage. Wrote that book 15 years ago. It's loaded with helpful hints. That's coming out with The Lie of Every Man's Battle. After that is a book that I'm going to be talking about the next couple days. It's called How to Love Anyone, Even Your Wife. And it's really an important book also for relationships. It has a lot to do with love, the definition of love. A breakdown of 1 Corinthians 13, which is the chapter on love. And today and tomorrow and the next day, how to love your wife, how to love your kids, how to spoil the wife, how to spoil the kids and ruin your family and your marriage. But today I want to talk about tough love. Tough love is tough. This is the love of God. Have you noticed, does God seem like touchy-feely, lovey-dovey to you? Like I said, I never gave my kids candy for breakfast. They wanted it, but I refused. They didn't know what was good for them. They're kids. We don't know what's good for us before God, so He loves us, and it's tough love. It really is. I'm going to read an article now. I don't know who wrote this. It's uncredited, but this is a great little article on tough love. It's just a small piece. Tough love is an expression that is generally thought of as a disciplinary measure where someone is treated rather sternly with the intention of helping them in the long run. For example, tough love may be the refusal to give assistance to a friend asking for help when to do so would simply allow him to continue along a dangerous path. However, with tough love, in a biblical sense, the chastening hand is always controlled by a loving heart. As the wise King Solomon said, quote, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Proverbs 13:24. The Bible has much to say about tough love, particularly in Hebrews and in Proverbs. Unfortunately, however, I'm continuing with the article, Many people, parents in particular, often equivocate. They get all wishy-washy when it comes to meting out tough love. Granted, firm disciplinary measures can be as unpleasant to the parent as they are to the child. That's why it takes wisdom and courage. That's why the Cowardly Lion couldn't do it with his kid. He didn't have any courage. What makes a king of the beast the king of the beast? Courage. Didn't have it. His kids were spoiled. However, when we continually shield loved ones from the consequences of their errors, we often deprive them of the opportunity for the growth and maturity they could possibly eradicate their problematic behavior altogether. Additionally, we eliminate any incentive someone might have for change when we hesitate to save them from themselves. You can't hesitate. Wait a minute, I don't think the guy worded this right. Additionally, we eliminate an incentive someone might have for change when we hesitate to save them from themselves. No, that's not right. We eliminate the incentive when we save them from themselves. You can't save people from themselves. You got to let them go sometimes to the gutter, and that's when the change happens. Otherwise, you're just nurturing the problem. If a jealous person, for instance, tells you who can be your friends and who can't be your friends, and if you just get rid of this person, then you'll make the jealous person happy. If you just never talk to that person again, you will make the jealous person happy. But if you continually give the jealous person what he or she wants, it's like feeding a monster. The monster is never satisfied. It's like giving alcohol to an alcoholic. Feeding the beast, enabling them. As the writer of Hebrews aptly informs us, quote, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. That is true. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. That is Hebrews 12:11. That is huge. We are undergoing discipline. Well, I've been talking so far about practical things in your life with the wife and the kiddies, not giving the kiddies candy for breakfast. We're going to get to the wives here in a minute. Wives are going to sit back and go, well, the wives might not like some of this. The husbands might not like some of this. I may be stirring up a lot of trouble in people's marriages and relationships. But this is tough love. I'm doing it to help you, not to hurt you. Discipline seems difficult. And taking the easy way out, just letting people do their own things, not causing problems, not making waves, it seems easy, but it's only easy in the short term. In the long term, it brings pain. In the long term, indulgence brings pain. I've discovered this over and over again. Discipline is easy in the long run. Discipline is the easiest thing. And it's indulgence and laziness that seems like you're skating, but it's only in the short term. It brings you long-term pain. In Hebrews, we see the people God disciplines. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Some of you may be experiencing the discipline of the Lord. I don't know what form that takes. It's not my department. I never try to figure out what God's trying to do with me. I just get through one day at a time. If I'm having problems, I know it's of God, and I have to somehow work through it. He may be disciplining me. It may be a streak of bad luck. It's all for my good. God is operating altogether for good. So, you know, I don't freak out about freaking out. I don't get upset about getting upset. I don't lose my peace about losing my peace. I'm okay with it. Do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Stop loving me already. And he disciplines everyone he accepts as a son. All right, keep disciplining me. Now, I will say this to you. I'm tired, can you tell? I don't like making videos at night. It's kind of at night. But I'm forging through because God is going to make the magic happen. Maybe he already has. Maybe I've already changed somebody's life. Wait till you hear what I'm going to say. You haven't heard anything yet. Ladies and gentlemen, tough love is often necessary in your families, in your relationships, with your friends, because we have a tendency to not respond to gentle taps on the shoulder. Tiny little suggestions, little hints, God giving you a nudge, some people are just not responsive to that. They're thick. They don't have hair triggers as far as being influenced by slight circumstances. So our Heavenly Father, bless his soul, will do whatever is necessary to conform his children, that's us, into the likeness of Christ. And again, whatever trials he brings us, it's not our department to figure them out. We're not supposed to bring them on ourselves. We're supposed to live lives and try to avoid trials. Nobody purposely goes into trials. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? I know the trials have value, but you don't purposely go into them. You don't starve yourself or beat yourself over the head with a brick. You just don't, because I'm so to suffer for Christ. No, just don't beat yourself over the head with a brick. Put your head on a pillow at night, not on a rock. Drink water. Eat food that makes you happy. You know, eat, drink, and do merry. But just count on God to take care of the discipline. He'll do it. God designated us beforehand for this very reason. What? To bring us into the likeness of Christ. That's what discipline's all about. And the better we understand his word, the easier it will be for us to accept this fact. God will administer whatever amount of tough love is necessary so that our behavior will square with the identity of Christ. Now, this isn't going to happen while we're in this life. We're always going to be imperfect because we're flawed by design. But I'm giving you God's attitude because now I'm going to turn it on you. That's right. I am going to tell you that this should be a parent's motive when correcting the behavior of a wayward child. You know, some people get upset sometimes when I'll take a friend to task, or I'll take you to task, or I'll take one of the other teachers out there to task. And it's not fun when somebody kind of holds you up and attempts to correct you or even expose you and rebuke you in love. But God does it to me too. I mean, I'm not exempt from this. You all can help me. We help each other. And again, why should we be any better than God? God is not exactly pampering us down here. I mean, he's not enabling us, that's for sure. God is not codependent. He doesn't seem to care whether we like him or not. The codependent person does everything to make sure you like them. Do you like me? Do you like me? I'll do this. I'll do that. Please like me. God is not like this. God, doesn't seem to care some days if we like him. Because he does the hard thing. Many days, I must tell you, I don't like God very much. I love him, but I don't like him. I think God's self-image is pretty good, though. Pretty good. He acts like it is anyway. He has a pretty good self-image. His opinion of himself doesn't depend on our acceptance of him. His opinion of himself doesn't depend on us being nice to him or... In other words, he can discipline us and make us upset and make us whine and cry and shake our fists sometimes, but he's not swayed by that, if you haven't noticed yet. I know, God, he doesn't let me get away with my little temper tantrums. No, he doesn't. He's bringing me to maturity by means of discipline. He's doing the same to you. And if you're wise, and I know you are, most of you, and if I'm wise, we will accept that this is what God does. Again, or maybe I haven't said this yet, we can complain about it. Paul doesn't recommend complaining about it. Paul says don't murmur. He doesn't say we can't rant, though. I noticed that. Paul says do not murmur, but he didn't say don't rant. So I think you can rant. I don't see anything in the scripture against ranting. It's just murmuring you're not supposed to do. But the thing is the realization. Like when we were young, we had those of us who had good parents. Our parents are wiser than us, right? Well, God is wiser than I am. Yeah, hard to believe, I know, but I'm bringing you the truth here. Hope you don't think less of me. God's wiser than I am. He doesn't mess around. His love is not mushy. No, God does not have mushy love. It's not very soft-focused either. God doesn't send me Hallmark cards. He doesn't tell me how nice I look today. Some days he even says, Zender, you look like S-H-I-T. But even when he does that, I know he loves me because God is love. It helps to know that. God is love. It really helps to know that. And I know what love is. And I'm going to tell you what love is, I think. I'm just going to tell you what love is. Not today, but before the end of this week. It's very important to know what it is. So you can love your wife. So you can love your kids. So you can love God. And so you don't do something stupid like spoiling them. Love is an action. It's not an emoji. You can quote me on that. That's a good one. That's a good one. Love is an action. It's not an emoji. It's a decision, not an emotion. Keep that in mind. It's very important. This is why I chafe at all the emotional definitions of love. I mean, I generally, many of you know this, I dislike all those emojis and emoticons that people use on emails and texts. But I have caved to social pressure and I use them myself. Because if you don't use them, these days people think you hate them. If you tell them I'll see you tomorrow, period, but you don't put a smiley face or a huggy guy or fireworks, they think you hate them. You hate them. Martin, why do you hate me? What do you mean? Why do I hate you? You told me I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah? But you didn't add a smiley face. You almost have to do it. Or you have to add an exclamation point. See you tomorrow! Exclamation point. See you tomorrow! If you just put see you tomorrow, it's like, oh my God, what's the matter? Martin's in a bed. What the heck happened? Must have had a terrible day. Maybe Charles died. Oh, what's see you tomorrow? You gotta have the exclamation point. But have you seen people put exclamation points on when they're saying their text, they're speaking their text messages? I've heard it and I've gone, I knew it. I knew it. I was watching my friend Lauren one time. She's voice texting one of her friends and she says, I really liked our get together last night, exclamation point. I'm like, I knew it. I really liked our get together last night, exclamation point. See, it's a fake. It's fake. So when I see an exclamation point from Lauren, I don't know if it's real or not. So, hey, just love me. Just love me. You don't need an exclamation point or an emoticon. I'll love you, okay? Keep the cute stuff to yourself and love me. But you know what? I'm sorry. Having said that, I take it back. Give me the cute stuff. Give me the cute stuff. I give up. I cave. I can do it. I'll put the exclamation points in, the smiley faces. I'll do it. So, for the people who think that love is a mushy emotion, I have this to say. I just point to God and say, does God love us? The answer is always, yeah, of course God loves us. Then I ask this, okay, does God give you everything you want? Does God coddle you? I always make my point here because the people look down at their feet and they go, well, they admit God loves them, but at the same time they have to admit God doesn't coddle them. Of course God doesn't give us everything we want. Of course he doesn't. He kicks our asses. God put his own son on the cross. How's that for the love of God? Yeah, sorry to have to end the show like this, but God crucified his own son. I'm sorry to have to end the show like that. Talk about tough love. I don't know what to say about that, but when we look at it this way, it changes our entire conception of love. Goes back to the discipline of God, Hebrews 12. When God put his son on the cross, he was looking at the long view. That's what I was telling you about discipline. Discipline's always better when you take the long view. And if Jesus Christ had been spared the cross, it would be good for him in the short term. But in the long term, he wouldn't have had the glory that he has today. He traded in 6 hours of absolute agony for eons of excessive deserved glory. And that's the key, isn't it? Love always does what will be better for its object. Eventually.